Once again, it's a great privilege to stand in front of this congregation. I earnestly request your prayers, especially to use me as a tool for His glory. I'm not capable, but you know, I'm looking at God for His guidance. When I was writing this title, "Surely I'm Coming Quickly," I was thinking about my college days. After accepting Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, I used to attend for a lot of gospel meetings, meetings in our area. And most of them are Pentecostal meetings. Brethren were there, but you know, there were no such meeting, or I was not aware. So there was one guy in my dorm or hostel, we called there. His name is John. He used to joke at me when I was coming from the prayer meetings, and he said, "Oh, you are saying you got the wings. What happened with you? What you got today? You got the Holy Spirit?" Such type of, you know, comments. Most of the days, he must be boozed, drunk, or something like that. So I was talking to him about the Lord, His second coming, His punishment if you are not accepting Lord Jesus Christ, the benefits if he is accepting Lord Jesus Christ. And one day he decided to come along with me. That meeting was conducted by some of us knows. His name is Captain Samuel, who's from Kerala. You may know this name. Captain Samuel, he was doing Maranatha Crusade. That is one of the interesting guys who used to cross the border between India and China and used to smuggle Bible to China those days. And he will carry a lot of candy. Maybe the police or the military will stop him. He will give them the candy which was not available in China. And in between he managed to get the Bible inside. So I was so impressed by him. So I asked John to join along with me for a prayer meeting. And back in India, especially in our place, our dinner is usually around 8 o'clock. So that will be a heavy dinner. After that, it's better to go to sleep. So we had our dinner. Then I asked him, "Let's go for this meeting." No, I think I took him outside somewhere for a restaurant because it was my dad's money, not my money. So I'm very easy for me to spend. So I gave him a very good food, and then I invited him for the meeting, and he was with me. So as soon as we stepped in, the message was, "Surely I am coming quickly." That was written there in a banner. It was there. So he read that and he looked at me, "What is this?" I said, "Yeah, she is coming." So after, I was sitting next to him, and after some times he started dozing, sleeping. And eventually he hit me hard enough that I slipped from my chair. So those days my nickname was Mosquito. Imagine, my nickname was Mosquito. So I moved from the chair a little bit. So I looked at him and said, "What happened?" He said, "Surely I am coming. I already read that one to you. I am coming to you because I am sleeping, and that's why I hit you." So when I was writing this headline, you know, I was thinking about those days. He said, he read that one and said, "This is what it meant. I am sleeping. I may hit you. That's what it meant by I am coming quickly." So when I was writing this, I was thinking about him. Then I realized that that person accepted Lord Jesus Christ after 3 years, and he's a full-time servant at this point of time in Mumbai or Bombay. He was a teacher in one of the prestigious school there. He left that job and he is witnessing our Lord. So when I was thinking about the particular title, I was thinking about him, and it was taking me back to my college days. Anyway, it's a great privilege, as I said, and I'm so glad that you know God is allowing us to be here and worshiping Him and praising Him. And also I'm glad that I am in Ohio. The reason is, last Thursday we were allowed to enjoy seasons together in 3 days. Do you remember? Thursday it was like a summer. Wednesday it was like a summer, Thursday it was like a spring, and Friday we got winter. So again, I'm thanking God for that, all seasons together. What a privilege. Again, this verse is very important for us. I am coming quickly. When we are looking around, I do not know how many of you may have seen the live telecast from Syria about the gas attack. If you have seen, you may have cried. If you haven't cried, you may want to check yourself again. It was so horrible. We are living in a world where there is no peace. No peace. And not only that, people are not considering each other. Have you seen that little child was trying to take some breath and then closing the eyes in front of his father? Have you seen that child, a young teenager who was crying out and saying, my 19 cousins died on that attack? Have you seen that one son was telling, my grandpa is gone, he was suffocating? We are living in the world where, you know, a lot of problems are around. This is a comforting verse. He is coming. I am coming quickly. But when we are going through all these problems, you know, I want you to remember this. Lord, stamp eternity on my eyeballs. It is not my word. I will get into that one. Lord, stamp eternity on my eyeball, so I will be seeing everything through eternity. That is the only way we can survive this world. If the eternity is stamped on my eyeballs, when I am looking outside, I am seeing that's for eternity. I am going to eternity. What I am doing having any importance towards eternity or not. That is a prayer. That needs to be our prayer in our life. God, stamp eternity on my eyeballs. The time is near. In Bible, Revelation chapter 20, verse 22, verse 20 and 21, it says, I am coming quickly. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come Lord Jesus. Come Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. I mean, one of the books in the Bible which always makes you on toe, walks you on high spirit is Revelation, isn't it? It is the book that giving you the hope of the future. So, when you are looking into Revelation, it says, nowadays everybody is talking about Revelation, so I am also talking about Revelation. Okay, the Revelation of John, it says that it's a motivational book, it is a majestic book, it is a maximal book, it is a militant book. What is this? Motivational book. It will motivate you for your future. It will motivate you for going further. That is the only one book in the Bible which says if you read or if you will hear, if you will teach, you will be blessed. It is motivating each of us to study that book. And it is a majestic book. It is giving us the real picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. When you are looking through the gospel, what we are seeing, the first picture is, he is crying, he is in manger. He was on the top of the dome, today everybody is celebrating Hosanna. And he is going to the cross. The King of Kings, the creator of everything, became a humble servant and died on that cross. That's what we are seeing in the Gospels. God's one of the important plans was accomplished through those things. That's what we are seeing. But when we are coming to the Revelation, we are seeing Lord in a different perspective. Even Apostle John was not able to recognize him when he appeared in front of him. He was afraid. John was very close to him. He was sitting next to him. When he realized Jesus, our Lord Jesus Christ is standing there. He was trembled. He said his sound was like a waterfalls or something like that. And he got a sword. That is a total different picture. Not that simple, humble Lord Jesus Christ. So Revelation is telling us about the majestic look of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is the maximal book too. Whatever the thing that we lost in Genesis is going to gain in the book of Revelation. We lost the closeness with God in Genesis. We lost everlasting life. We lost the fruit of life. We lost the paradise. That is going to be reclaimed, regained in the book of Revelation. So Revelation is important in that way. And militant book, it contains a lot of war, lot of destruction, lot of war cry, and a lot of things inside. It's very interesting. Maybe if you are so interested in the games nowadays, when you are going through computer games nowadays, you are seeing only fight and, you know, everything like that. So if you read the Revelation, you can see how the God is standing against the devil, against the evil. We are seeing all those things. It's a militant book too. So Revelation will be a study. It is a motivational book. It's a majestic book. It's a maximal book. It's a militant book. By the way, the previous verse, he who testified to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. That sentence contains all these characters. It is motivating us. It is a declaration of a king. It is a maximal thing. That's what we are looking forward. We want to see him. It is a war cry that I am going to come and take over the world. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for allowing us to be together. Lord, we are trying to understand, trying to study the word of God. Lord, use me as your tool. Lord, help us to concentrate together. Help us to see your mighty hand in everything. We pray in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. As I said earlier, the Lord's stamp eternity on my eyeballs was written by this person, Jonathan Edwards. And I was going through the computer yesterday, and then I was trying to find out some details about this person. He was born in 1703 and died in 1758. He was a Puritan theologian, pastor, and a devout Calvinist, and was most significant American churchman of 18th century. Said to be one of America's great preachers. He was leading figure in the first great awakening. And he changes his views, and he stick on with the Lord, and he was following his direction. Edward was elected president of the College of New Jersey, later Princeton University, in early 1758. He was a popular choice, for he had been a friend of the college since its inception and was most eminent American philosopher, theologian of his time. On March 22, 1758, he died of fever at the age of 54, following experimental inoculation for smallpox, and was buried in the president's lot in the Princeton Cemetery. That's what we know about him. That's what we know about him. So he was the person who said, Lord, stamp eternity on my eyeballs. This morning I'm seeing that is important for my life too. And I believe that is important for each of us. When we are looking around the world, If we are looking to the world in any other way, we are losing or we are lost. We need to look around only on the basis of eternity. So that is important today. So we are looking more, we are bound towards eternity, and we are looking for His coming, we are looking for the rapture, we are going to be with Him forever and ever, we will be seeing Him very soon. What about the things that I am doing today and tomorrow and all these days has to have value towards my eternity. So that's the way we have to look into it. So, when we are looking through the Word of God, when you are studying the Gospel, it is telling us, behold the Lamb of God. That is the message or the inner voice what we are hearing from each Gospel. The Gospelists keep on telling us, behold the Lamb of God. When we are coming to Acts, we are listening, behold, He lives. Gospel, we are seeing His resurrection, but in Acts we are seeing that experience, and we are also getting that experience of His resurrection. And when we are coming to Epistles, the main theme or the inner voice is, behold, He comes. But when we are coming to the Revelation, it says, behold, He reigns. As we just meditated, the Gospel, we are seeing the complete picture of God's plan for the salvation. And the foreshadow of that salvation process was given in Old Testament through different ways. There was a lot of type of worship we heard in the Old Testament. We studied about a lot of festivals in Old Testament. A lot of songs was talking in the Psalms. Everything was pointing towards our Lord Jesus Christ. And when we are coming to Acts, what we are seeing is, after the Lord's death, the apostle and the disciples are scattered or worried. They are going separately and then coming together without any hope. In the midst of the problem, he appears in front of them and said, I am here. So He lives. That was the message through the Acts. But you know, eventually people start asking about when He is going to come back. The answer was given to Epistles. He comes. He is coming. Behold, He comes. When we are reading through the Epistles, what we are seeing is the apostles, the people who has written that epistle by the Holy Spirit were telling to their people that He is going to come. That is important for us too, isn't it? As I said earlier, the world is having a lot of issues around. You cannot see peace anywhere. Syria is a potential flashpoint at this point. Israel is always under the shadow. Wherever you turn around, you are not seeing any peace. The only hope is the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that message is given through Christians. However, the inner voice of the Revelation is telling us that behold, He reigns. What a great hope that we are having. When we analyze the verse that we studied or we looked into, it consists of three parts. The first one is the last promise. He who testifies these things says, surely I am coming quickly. What a great promise. He's coming quickly. The last promise in the Bible. And then the last prayer, Amen, even so come, Lord Jesus. The third, the last provision, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all, Amen. Now we are hearing a question around this world, in workplace, in school. Why he is not coming yet? Your Bible says he is going to come. Where is he? Last Thursday, I was sharing the word of God with a friend of mine. And while I was talking to him, he said, he's a Christian too. And immediately I was trying to talk to him about the second coming, rapture. He said, Jacob, don't get wrong. That's not true. That's not what it meant. I was shocked. He's a deacon in a church. He said, I don't believe Job was a real person. Job was a story given by God for us to understand. Do you ever think that God will bet with Satan on a person? And he was so sarcastic. He said, it looks like you are believing that God called Satan on an evening and said, hey, listen, go and try this on that guy. Huh? Do you think that God is going to do like that? That is just a story. Then I said, what about the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ? Aye, it may be true. Do you believe he is going to come back? Not in the way that you believe. No rapture. What about tribulation? Believe me, I was shocked. I was eating something, I was shocked. I was not able to swallow what was in my mouth because he was talking about his church. He said he was author of several books for his Sunday school. Can you believe that another generation is going to come with that theology? If you call that as a theology. Can you believe somebody is saying that you will be just like a tree or a bird? You are here, do good and die. No hope. What about this promise? I am coming back. What do you think, my friend? I asked him. He said, again, it is a motivational thing for us. I was shocked. Again, when I realized that he is a leader in the church. That's what we are going through. That's the place we are having the question, where is the promise about his coming? You know, it is already said in the Bible, the scoffers will be there, who will be making joke out of these things. So that's what we are facing. Yesterday night, I was going through the word of God. I was trying to understand the promises of God. This is an incomplete list. The 14 promises, because my PowerPoint was not able to carry more. The 14 promises. I can claim all of them. And that promise of the last promise is true for me. I was writing another sermon up to 9:30 yesterday, 9:30 p.m. Then you know, sometimes you feel that's not what you want to say, you know. And especially at 9:30 it comes, that will be a difficult thing, isn't it? I was sitting up to 2:30 this morning. In between I was sleepy. Then I went through these verses. I realized that what a privileged person I am. All these things are there for me. The 14 promises. I count only that much. There are more. I know. This is not. My PowerPoint presentation won't carry all. In Old Testament it says, none of God's promises in the Bibles ever fail. It is in the Bible, Joshua 23:14 says, not one word has failed. of all the good things that the Lord your God promised concerning you. All have come to pass for you. Not one of them has failed. What a great confirmation. You think it was only on Old Testament? Here's another verse from the New Testament. 2 Corinthians. I forget to put the verse. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen, to the glory of God through us. So all the promises are true. So his last promise also true for us. He is coming. Again, when you are getting into Revelation chapter 22, we are seeing three times he is talking about his coming. The first one it says, behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed he is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. On verse 12 it says, and behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. On verse 20 it says, he who testified to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. When I was trying to understand these verses, I realized that the first one is about your faithfulness. Keeps the word of the prophecy of this book. Keep the word. That's the difficult thing that I just taught. When our kids are going to school, when we are going to our workplace, we will be asked the question, why the rapture never happened? Why you are here? Are you faithful? Your faithfulness is important. When we are looking into verse 12, it's talking about your fruitfulness. Are you a big, huge tree without any fruit? Are you doing any work? The fruitfulness. And verse 20 says, he who testified to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Are you focusing on his coming? So these three verses is asking about your faithfulness, about your fruitfulness, and about your focus. I tried to find out a word for every verse with starting with the, and I did that. So, faithfulness, fruitfulness, and focus. I am coming quickly. He who testified to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. I mean, even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Why he is coming back? There are three things I can see. To punish the notorious wrong people. The evil need to be punished. You got the willpower to do everything, whatever the thing that you want, and you are doing everything in the wrong direction. Now that need to be checked and need to be punished. To reign on the earth, he is the king. Once he will get the book from the God or the deed from the God, he is going to reign over this earth. That's what the Revelation teaches us. And to judge the world completely and send the Satan and devil, as we heard this morning, to its destiny. Almost 2,000 years have now passed after these verses. I am seeing that I am 2,000 years closer to God's coming, to seeing my Lord, the one who accepted the cross on my behalf. I'm looking forward for that. Our salvation is nearer than what we believe right now. Why? We see events, Jesus and the prophets related to happening before our eyes. Daniel spoke of increased knowledge leading to world wrath. If you have doubt, mercilessly and if you're traveling alone. Increase in knowledge. Look around the technology. How much is developed? Jesus talked about the wiping off the human race. The people will be trying to kill each other. We have seen in Syria. Ezekiel spoke of regathering of Israelites into the land and the re-establishment of the nation. We have seen that. We also have read in Zechariah saying that all nations being opposed to Israel, that's what's happening now. Even our US government did something last year, under the last administration against Israel. Daniel predicted about the European nations coming together during the final hour of the world. That's happening. European Union. In Revelation, it speaks of a new world monetary system based upon an assigned number. Do you want any proof, any of these things? The last one happened in my house yesterday. We got the PAN card or a permanent account number for Gypsy, not for me, from India government. She got a card now from India government saying that she can do transaction in India. So we are numbered. Your social security was only in USA, that's what I thought. In India, you cannot do anything without the number. Your name is material. You are a number. When I was in school, I never thought of this. Or nobody may have thought of these things. Things are coming very closer. I'm working for JP Morgan Chase, you know. And we developed an application where you don't have to have a credit card with you to take the money from your ATM, but you need a phone. You enter the password in any ATM and say, I want a token. Immediately you will get a text message on your phone with a number. You enter that number and you withdraw the amount of money what you want. India is moving towards cashless society. Believe me, it is difficult in India to move, digitalizing everything. Now they are doing it, and it is almost perfect. Things are coming together. And also, we technology developed in such a way that we are able to see events happening in every place together. Because it's important. Revelation says about the two witnesses. And their dead body will be seen by the whole world. The technology is there for us now. My father or my grandfather may not understand that. Maybe Becca may be understanding, or the next one. She may be understanding about the internet now. Technology, technology, technology. Everything is coming towards one point, his return, his last promise. Lord, stamp eternity on my eyeballs. The time is near. Surely he is coming. What a great promise. Are we faithful? Are we fruitful? Are we focused? Only three things. Faithful, fruitful, focused. You may be busy in your day-to-day life. Are you losing your focus? You may be enjoying your family life. You may be enjoying the things around you. But you know, he is coming. On the other side, you may be going through difficulties. You are having health issues. You may be having financial issues. You may be having family issues. Hang on, he's coming. Only God can give this message to us, isn't it? What a privilege. The same time before I'm crossing this world, why we are eligible for this all? Because of our Lord who accepted the cross, who accepted the punishment on my behalf, on your behalf. When I was not knowing him, he called me. He separated me. It is not my deeds which qualify me for looking for his son coming. Thinking about the eternity because of his mercy. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for allowing us to be together. Lord, when we are looking into the verses in the Bible, Lord, when we are seeing that great sacrifice on that cross, Lord, when we are seeing that redemptive work that you have completed on that cross, Lord, we don't have any words, only tears in our eyes and heart full of thank you. Lord, help us to be focused, help us to be fruitful, and help us to be faithful. Lord, we are going to the world. Lord, be with us. We pray in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.